RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to be talking horses again with Jo McKinnon. And, gee, her social media is a real highlight during the week. There's been a lot of mustering going on in weeks gone by. But as Jo joins us this morning, the weather watch has been certainly the focus this week. Floods in the area and a lot of rain in New South Wales. First of all, Jo, we want to just check in to make sure you're safe.
Morning, Warren. Thank you for asking. Yes, we're all safe, fortunately. But it's been a pretty... scary week with a huge amount of rainfall in the region causing, well, a natural disaster in nearby Gunnedah with huge floods there. We were also flooded here, but it's run past us and dried up pretty quick, although the paddocks are still a good couple of mils underwater. We can't put the horses in there at the moment, but... Yeah, it's been a worrying time. I mean, we never complain about rain because only a few years ago we were in drought, Warren, but, I think it could stop for a while now. If we get too much more, we're going to be in a bit of trouble here. Already that famous canola crop we've talked about many times has almost been completely destroyed. We'll be lucky to be able to harvest that. And it's always a worry when you've got animals and a lot of horses too, with paddocks on the plains here going underwater and having to move them to higher ground. It's certainly been a challenging week.
What's the forecast for the weeks ahead look like?
More rain. So we had a little bit of respite from it yesterday. There was only light rain falling, which gave the area a good opportunity to dry out a bit. But more heavy rain is predicted to fall throughout this week. So it's batting down the hatches, Warren.
Before we start talking horses, Jo, it's been an emotional week for you, a gentleman who'd be well known to many in racing and media, in Chris Kearns, who you worked alongside at Sky Channel, had a funeral. He succumbed to cancer not that long ago, and it was fitting for yourself and many other of your ex-colleagues and friends of Chris's to be able to pay tribute to Chris. So for those that weren't aware that was an unfortunate situation, your thoughts on your life that you spent with Chris and what an emotional week it's been.
Yeah, it was a sad day on Monday, which was to be Chris's 75th birthday. We chose that particular date to celebrate and look back on his own wonderful life. He passed away on Melbourne Cup Day, of course, after the race was run, Warren, which was most fitting. But it's very sad to lose Chris after a long battle with cancer. He fought very bravely right until the absolute end. He's a very close friend and colleague of mine for just over 20 years. So losing Chris has been a very sad time for me and numerous other people. Chris professionally was a legendary broadcaster in Sydney, very well known in radio circles for decades as one of the highest rating presenters in Sydney. Then he moved across to Sky Racing when we first started pay TV racing on Sky back in 1998. He was called across to focus on a new platform and was a key person there, as solid as a rock as far as presenting goes, a mad keen punter too. So it was the perfect job for him, really absolutely loved horse racing and really spoke from the pocket, which suits a lot of the Sky viewers, that's for sure. It's a real punter's channel. But he worked at Sky for, I think it was 17 years he spent there before retiring from that position. And in more recent years, he spent time working on 2CH radio in Sydney. So he did what he loved right until he was able to, his health giving out in the end. But a sad day on Monday, but uplifting in that we could catch up with numerous people from the industry and people that I've had the pleasure of working with over the years. The likes of John Tapp and Graham McNeice were, of course, there in force. So amazing to see Tappy in particular, who's 80 years old now, Warren, and in the most incredible health. He hasn't changed a minute since I started working with him over 20 years ago.
I think he's still churning out podcasts and doing interviews in what can only be described as Tappy style, Joe.
Yeah, he's a brilliant orator of racing, isn't he, Tappy? And he really connects with racing people so well. I love his interviews, always have, and the colour that he paints around racing and the horses in particular. He's got a real understanding of the animal and appreciation of it. as well. So great that Tappy's still doing his broadcast work where possible.
Racing affected right throughout New South Wales yesterday, Rose Hill being the only meeting with the weather that's sweeping through the state. We had the Zipping Classic at Caulfield this year, not the fairy tale for Bossy, but a terrific day's racing. Group 1 racing, Western Australia with the Winter Bottom, Graceful Girl taking out that race. Out. What were the highlights from racing yesterday for your perspective, Joe?
Yeah, well, across in the west, of course, the now $1 million Group 1 Winterbottom Stakes produced a fantastic winner for Bob and Sandra Peters, their homebred mare, Graceful Girl. Of course, Bob and Sandra sold their top Group 1 mares, Arcadia Queen and Celebrity Queen, earlier this year at the Broodmare sales for a combined total of just over $5.7 million. But they've got a very suitable replacement, haven't they, in Graceful Girl. She was impressive.
Yeah, so I haven't been following that form. Be really interested to talk to Dean Lester and Dan Malecki about that race in the next hour or so. But watching the race, she dominated in the way that you thought perhaps the short price favourite Elite Street was going to win the race. So she put a space on them. She had Elite Street form lines going into it, but she certainly peaked on the day. And I was just thinking, Joe, at Moonee Valley, where you've worked, and a Caulfield, quite often they paint little statues of the feature race winners, Cox Plates, Blue Diamonds, Caulfield Cups, just little features, statues around there. The bloke in Perth would just get sick of painting the Cerise with the white diagonal cross stripes. He'd just have to paint one statue and leave it there.
Yeah, they're so prolific, aren't they, those colours, certainly in the west. And when their top horses head across here to the east, they're a force to be reckoned with as well. On the pedigree side for her, she's a full sister to the Group 3 winner, State Solicitor, and a half-sister to Group 2 winner, Respondent. And what about her sire, Nicone? Hasn't he been a great producer over the years? Of course, he's best known in more recent times for being the sire of the Everest Hero in Nature Strip. Of course, he's now based at Widden Stud in Victoria, Nicone. And I think given what he's been able to produce, particularly in recent years at the top level, and certainly prolific as far as general winners go, his fee of $27,500 looks pretty reasonable.
Yeah, he's been a great bread and butter stallion, and as you talked about on a number of occasions, a real sense of revitalisation about the Victorian breeding industry with Widden relocating, and you know Anthony Mithen's stallions that he's securing, and Brereton didn't win yesterday, but plenty to come there, and plenty to come for Emirates Park too. It was a terrific day at Caulfield yesterday, Joe. Those green colours with the white sash were to the fore, with one filly who's starting her career and one filly who might have got her career back on track.
Yes, the Emirates Park colours very successful yesterday at Caulfield on Zipping Classic Day, with the daughter of I Am Invincible, Ebar, too good in the listed Merson Cooper Stakes. And it was great to see Enthar bounce back and win also. Brian Carlson is in charge of Emirates Park, the iconic stud farm based at Murundi in New South Wales at the top end of the Hunter Valley. And he's our special guest on the program this morning. How are you, Brian?
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, no, very good.
Keeping dry?
I am. We are. You know, the farm received a lot of rain there the last few days, and luckily we haven't flooded yet.
Yeah. So just how affected have you been there at Murundi over the course of the week?
Yeah, no, we're very lucky. Been at the top of the river. It goes up and down very quick, so we escaped quite well, and we just hopefully not too much rain this week.
Yeah, it's a beautiful farm. I have the pleasure of driving past quite often these days, and it's in beautiful order at the moment. I've never seen it look so green.
Yeah, no, we've had a great season, actually, with the cows and everything on there, and the horses, and, we couldn't ask for a better season.
No. And speaking of green, the colours of Emirates Park, the racing colours, to the fore yesterday at Caulfield, with two very good fillies winning. We'll start off by talking about Ebar on debut. What were your thoughts there, Brian?
Yeah, look, we thought we had a nice filly coming in with the two trials, but as you know, with these two-year-old races, you don't know, especially in Victoria with these untrialed horses. Yeah, just good to see her get there and get it done on debut.
Yeah. Has there always been a bit of a rap on her at home?
Well, you saw her in Sydney. You know, that trial form in Sydney's just held up. So we knew she'd be in there in the end. But, you know, Brereton was a good horse, and a few others that we knew go okay. So it was just a matter of wait and see on race day.
Yeah. On the pedigree side for her, she's, of course, a homebred for Emirates Park and a half-sister to a Group 3 placed horse in Shotmaker and Metropolitan winner Sienna Rose, and also Maroon from Maroon Bay, a three-quarter sister by Exceed and Excel to what was the dual Group 1 winner in Merchant Navy and now a very popular sire at Coolmore. So all the pedigree was there to suggest she would be a good racehorse.
Yeah, well, you know, she was a great physical as well. You know, that's Hussein's main idea is to sort of breed these fillies, and with the current market, it's cheaper to breed them at the moment than buy them. And with a pedigree like that, we bought Maroon Bay, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now, and you know, back then Merchant Navy hadn't even raced. So, you know, it's a pedigree that's gone from strength to strength, and you know, and to breed her and get her to the races, it's a whole team effort from the farm, the staff at the farm, to the trainers, to the strappers. It's been, to do it on debut is probably that extra bonus.
Yeah. Looking back at the purchase price for Maroon Bay, $370,000 from the Magic Millions National Broodmare sale in 2015, based on current prices, is looking pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's been, you know, she's done well as a broodmare too, you know. So Shotmaker could have, I thought, would have been a good horse. Unfortunately, didn't make it there. But, you know, Sienna Rose, you know, she's done it, and now she's got a very nice Brayden Bow filly at foot and back in fold of Capitalist. So, yeah, the $300,000 looks a good return now.
It sure does. And what about Yarraman Park's champion sire, I Am Invincible, her sire, of course, Ebar now becoming the 68th stakes winner for him?
Yeah, no, look, he's on fire, and we've been very successful with Vinny. We've had Santos, Najmati and Espana by I Am Invincible. So, you know, he's a good stallion, and he gets those some top-line horses. So, we do send a few mares every year, so it helps a lot.
And, Brian, it must have been very pleasing to see the one-time Golden Slipper favourite, Enthar, so decisive in winning the listed Doveton Stakes yesterday at Caulfield also.
Yeah, no, look, it's a big train effort for Kieran and David, mainly because we know she's got the ability, but sometimes she's a filly that loses the race herself. And just to see her relax yesterday through the race and get back to her, what we know, how good she is, it was good to see.
Yeah, that was her first start in, what, 36 weeks, so she's had a long time on the sidelines. Do you feel that that break might have augured well for her as well?
Yeah, well, she had a good break, and then she had a race against 3 weeks ago where she got third. But she's just a filly that takes a bit to get fit, and then so she's it's been a great training effort by the guys, and to get it back to where we know she is, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and how confident are you and the team at Kieran Maher's stable that she can now hold this positive form?
Yeah, well, we know she's got the ability, so, and I think with maturity and more experience, I think she'll just come to hand, and hopefully in the autumn we can hopefully see that on the track.
Yeah. She's, of course, out of a mare that you purchased from the Newgate Farm draft for $400,000, final agreement, and I see that she has a two-year-old colt by I Am Invincible called Mutafik. What's the news with it?
Yeah, well, he's just in the Hawke stable. He's just back in the Hawke stable now, so he's probably about 3 or 4 weeks away from trial. We haven't sort of pushed him yet, but he's a very forward-going colt, so we'll see how it goes over the next few weeks.
Okay.
You know, we purchased the mare a few years ago, and we actually picked her out as a yearling, but missed out on her as a yearling, so when she came back up as a broodmare, we bought her. So we keep track of all these fillies that we like, and if we can pick them up later on, we try.
Yeah, I must say for our listeners that maybe haven't been up to the part of the world where Emirates Park is, when you drive along the New England Highway there, right through the middle of the whole property, you can't help but look left, right, over the road, up into the hills, because there are just so many beautiful broodmares grazing very happily in the paddock, many now with foals at foot. How many are in the band these days?
From a few years ago, we're actually down to about 70 mares at the moment, down from 300, but we're just focusing on those quality mares, and, you know, we can focus on breeding quality horses, and that's the main aim. So it's sort of diversified a bit into cattle, as you know, and, it's very exciting, and the results are speaking for themselves.
You picked a right time to get into the cattle game, Brian.
Yes, we've done very well in the last 12 months with the cattle market, and it's exciting time.
Yeah, and just before you leave us, just for our listeners, if you could explain a little bit about the change in direction for Emirates Park in recent years.
Yeah, well, you know, with Emirates, you know, it's Hussein Luta and his son, Hussein and his father, Nasser Luta, and, you know, they're very focused on their horses here in Australia, and they're big supporters of the industry. So, you know, we're just more focused on quality and breeding those top-line horses. And, you know, we'll try to get back into the staying game sometime in the future and stand some really nice horses, hopefully.
Yeah, well, there's some nice horses on the way through in your racing team that may well fit that bill. Brian, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
No worries. Much appreciated, Joe. Thank you very much.
Brian Carlson there, who runs Emirates Park in the Hunter Valley. Warren, a beautiful stud farm.
The worst of the weather there, Joe, and not flooded yet, but I think everybody's just keeping an eye on how things transpire in the next week or so. The long-term forecast for a wet summer doesn't look good, particularly if we've had so much rain so early in the season. But as he said, by being up the top of the river mouth there, it probably helps in terms of the water heading away from him rather than to him, but doesn't speak well for people further downstream.
Probably give you a better understanding of just how extreme the weather has been in this part of the world over the past couple of years. It wasn't that long ago that the township of Murundi, which is where Emirates Park surrounds, ran out of water. Oh, a lot's changed.
Yes, and we're in a changing world, and you know, climate's obviously very high on the agenda at a lot of high-powered meetings, and the weather's no doubt a legacy of some of that, but yeah, hopefully you just stay safe as much as anything else. Joe, we've talked about the Group 1 in Perth. What were the other highlights for yourself? And I suppose you watching Bossy retire yesterday, and, that was an event in itself. I could have just about sold tickets to Bossy's retirement. He came back and was throwing boots into the crowd and was almost naked by the time he got back into the jockey's room. It was an event at Caulfield. Your memories of Bossy, Joe?
Well, he's one of the great showmen of Australian and world racing, isn't he? There's no one more colourful than G. Boss, particularly when he comes back to scale in the saddle, standing high in the irons. He was always great theatre, wasn't he, at the top level of racing? But even more importantly than that, he just had this innate ability, didn't he, to get the best out of a horse at the highest level of racing every time. Gee whiz, if I was ever a trainer or a powerful owner that had a genuine contender in a Group 1, he'd be the first jockey I would have gone for. He just was incredible under that enormous pressure, a great tactician. My fondest memories of Glenn were certainly back in the Valley days when we were promoting the Cox Plate, and my second year in the position there doing PR and marketing, Maccabi Diva was to line up. And in the lead up to the race, Warren, as you can probably remember, we did a lot of promotion around the mare, as you would, and Bossy was just so fantastic to work with. He understands media, he's a great contributor and a great talker, and just has this fantastic insight that he very openly shares with the media and the public and racing world. So they're very fond memories of Bossy and certainly all the colour that transpired after she won the race when we'd hatched the plan to create those Maccabi Diva masks, which he was happy to put on should she win. And so he did. Graham, the late Graham Salisbury, on the clerk of the course, had one stuffed in his pocket and was to hand it to Bossy to ride back to scale and if she won, and that he did. So they were very memorable images of the 2005 Cox Plate. God, a long time ago now, but it still feels like yesterday. It was a great day.
Yeah, entertainer and showman is a great description for Bossy, as well as a champion jockey. He was all of those things, and I'm sure he won't be lost to the racing industry in some form, Joe. I'm sure we'll see a lot more of Bossy down the track. Great to catch up this morning, and thanks for sharing some memories of Chris Cairns. I know it's been an emotional week and a draining week with the weather that's around your area. Thanks for taking the time out to share some memories with us and some insight this morning, Joe.
Yeah, no problem at all, Warren. Nice to talk to you.